everybody. Welcome to Come Follow Me Daily Dose. I'm Lindsay Hansen, and today is April 19th. Today we're going to continue in this week's Come Follow Me block, and we're going to jump into the Book of Omni. Now, Omni is different than probably any other book in the Book of Mormon because it's 30 verses long, and yet those 30 verses are going to cover 230 years. We're going to see five different authors write in the Book of Omni. But what's interesting about that is that the first four authors are only going to cover 11 verses between the four of them. So each of them are only going to write a couple verses. The last bit of the Book of Omni, the bulk of the Book of Omni, is written by one single author called Amlici. Now, Amlici is going to tell the story of King Benjamin, righteous King Benjamin, who was commanded by the Lord to leave the land of Nephi and to take all the righteous Nephites. Now, as I read verse 13, I want you to think of the conference that we just had, the opportunity that we had to listen to prophets and to apostles teach us and instruct us, and even the promises that they gave as we heed their counsel. Here in verse 13, it says, "And it came to pass that he did according as the Lord had commanded him, and they departed out of the land into the wilderness, as many as would hearken unto the voice of the Lord. And they were led by many preachings and prophesyings, and they were admonished continually by the word of God, and they were led by the power of his arm through the wilderness, until they came into the land, which is called the land of Zarahemla." What I love about that verse is that it says if we are willing to be led by the Lord, if we are willing to hearken, then he will continuously lead us through the teachings and the prophecies of our leaders. Now, you and I, we aren't wandering in a foreign land. We aren't leaving our homes and everything that we know to go live in the mountains, but we each live in a wilderness of our own. This world that we live in feels like a spiritual wilderness. And so the promise here is that if we are willing to be led, if we are willing to hearken, then our Father in heaven will continue to lead us through the preachings and the prophesying of our leaders. As you go back and as you re-listen to conference or reread it or study it, think about that principle that our Father in heaven, through those leaders, is trying to lead us through the wilderness that we live in today. So as we continue on in this chapter, we see in verse 14 that King Benjamin takes his people, they go into the land of Zarahemla, and they discover a group of people there called the people of Zarahemla. And the people of Zarahemla was a different group of people who had left Jerusalem about 11 years after Lehi. But the big difference between the people of Zarahemla and the Nephites is that the people of Zarahemla didn't have the brass plates. They didn't have those plates to teach them about the language of their fathers, their genealogy, the teachings of the prophets. And we see a big difference between the people of Zarahemla and the people of Nephi because of that difference. Now, I want you to think, have you ever been asked to do something or felt inspired to do something, maybe prompted to do something, and you didn't want to do it? And then have you done it and seen afterwards why it was important? Oftentimes, when we are asked to do something by our Father in heaven, we don't understand it. We don't know the why. But as we follow those promptings, sometimes immediately, sometimes years later, we see the purpose behind it. Now, my friends, Nephi and his brothers, they didn't want to return to Jerusalem. They had been traveling for a long time. It had been a lot of miles. They were not interested in taking that difficult journey back to Jerusalem. They were inspired to get the plates, and I'm sure on some level, maybe they understood that it was important. At least Nephi and Sam probably understood to some degree why it was important. But they didn't necessarily want to stand before Laban. They didn't necessarily want to take him all their gold and silver. Nephi certainly didn't want to lop off Laban's head. These were things that they didn't want to do. But here we are, almost 300 years later, and we finally get the opportunity to see why that was so incredibly important. Why it wasn't just important, but probably vital that Nephi and his brothers get those brass plates. Because here we have a group of people who lived at the same time, probably had the same teachings from the same prophets as Nephi and his brothers. And yet they come to America without the brass plates. and things are very, very different for them. They begin to lose their language, and even more sad, they begin to lose the faith of their fathers without those plates to keep them in the law of Moses and in the word of God. In a talk called See the End from the Beginning in 2006, Elder Uchtdorf tells a story of his childhood that helps us understand how God is in the details, how sometimes we might be experiencing something that we don't want to do, but God has a purpose in it. In that talk, Elder Uchtdorf says, "When I was 11 years old, my family had to leave East Germany and begin a new life in West Germany overnight. Until my father could get back to his original profession as a government employee, my parents operated a small laundry business in our little town. I became the laundry delivery boy. To be able to do that effectively, I needed a bicycle to pull the heavy laundry cart. I delivered laundry on that bike before and after school for quite a few years. Most of the time, I was not overly excited about the bike, the cart, or my job. Sometimes the cart seemed so heavy and the work so tiring that I thought my lungs would burst. I often had to stop and catch my breath. Nevertheless, I did my part because I knew we desperately needed the income as a family, and it was my way to contribute. Many years later, I was about to be drafted into the military. I decided to volunteer instead and join the Air Force to become a pilot. I loved flying and thought being a pilot would be my thing. To be accepted for the program, I had to pass a number of tests, including a strict physical exam. The doctors were slightly concerned by the results. They announced, 'You have scars on your lungs, which are an indication of a lung disease in your early teenage years, but obviously you are fine now.' The doctors wondered what kind of treatment I had gone through to heal the disease. Until the day of that examination, I had never known I had any kind of lung disease. Then it became clear to me that my regular exercise in fresh air had been a key factor in my healing from this illness. Without the extra effort of pedaling the heavy bicycle day in and day out, pulling the laundry cart up and down streets of our town, I might have never become a jet fighter pilot." My friends, maybe you have been asked to do something that you don't understand. Maybe currently you're going through a trial that you don't know why you have to face. But my friends, I testify that our Father in heaven is in all the details of our lives, and He is orchestrating things now for your greatest good later. Because He knows the end from the beginning, and because He loves us fiercely, we can trust Him with our hard things and in our hard times. Now, probably my favorite verse of this whole chapter is in verse 26, where it says, "And now, my beloved brethren, I would that ye should come unto Christ, who is the Holy One of Israel, and partake of His salvation and the power of His redemption. Yea, come unto Him, and offer your whole souls as an offering unto Him, and continue in fasting and praying, and endure to the end, and as the Lord liveth, ye will be saved." What I love about this is the invitation to come unto Christ. That is an invitation that stands today. Christ stands with arms outstretched, inviting you. Amalekai also says that we should offer our whole souls as an offering to the Lord. Elder Christofferson teaches us that that offering is a gift from ourselves. He says, as you seek the blessing of conversion, you can offer the Lord the gift of your broken or repentant heart and your contrite or obedient spirit. In reality, it is the gift of yourself, what you are and what you are becoming. Is there something in your life that is impure or unworthy? When you get rid of it, that is a gift to the Savior. Is there a good habit or quality that is lacking in your life? When you adopt it and make it part of your character, you are giving a gift to the Lord. Sometimes this is hard to do, but would your gifts of repentance and obedience be worthy gifts if they cost you nothing? Don't be afraid of the effort required, and remember, you do not have to do it alone. My friends, as we come unto Christ, we can offer Him our gifts. Our gifts of adopting good qualities and ridding ourselves of bad. But the good news is that as we've come unto Christ, we are with Him and He is there with us to help us through the hard task of offering our whole souls as an offering unto Him. Thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to follow us on social media, subscribe, like, comment, or share. This has been Come Follow Me, Daily Dose, and I'm Lindsay.